Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
chaplain is here this morning, Eddie Frazier, and Eddie has baptized over 18,000 people since 1998 when he went out from here to begin his jail ministry. And that's just extraordinary. It's a wonderful thing. And so we'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We have visiting with us this morning the Shawnee Trail Church of Christ. And Paul, writing to the letter to 1 Thessalonians to the church at Thessalonica, said about them, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Asia, but also in every place your faith towards God word is spread abroad." Isn't it amazing? This little church, we are the smallest, largest church of Christ in the world. There's about 200 of us sitting here, and we're going to blast this message out 5 times to all the earth this morning. We're going to blast it out to Africa. Radio Africa is going to broadcast to all the 21 English-speaking nations in Africa. The only hope that the people in Africa have of hearing the gospel, most of them, is to hear the spoken word of God, because only 21% can read. The rest we have to reach by preaching. We are blasting this service out to China today. It's going to go out 5 times to China. China has more people studying English than we have speaking English in the United States. Do you know that? There's more people in China studying English than there are that speak English in the United States. Right next to China is India, which has 1.2 billion people, most of them speaking the Queen's English. They learned to speak English from the British. And so isn't that an amazing thing that this little church could blast out the gospel to all the world like that? We'd like to ask that you open your Bibles this morning. We're going to begin studying in Luke chapter 15. We're going to study the lost sheep, the sinners, and the shepherds of Israel. And let's get started here in Luke chapter 15, verse 1. "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." The love of Jesus, the Savior, has attracted a very needy group. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, we're told, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The searching love of God. God's purpose was for the Messiah to come into the world. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." In John 3:16, that great verse, it's done so much to bring so many people. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." Notice it doesn't say shall not perish. It says should not perish. Because believe by itself will not save you. James says, "Thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. The demons also believe and tremble." So are the demons going to be saved? No. And so if you find me anywhere in this Bible, just say the sinner's prayer and believe, I'll eat the Bible. Does anybody know where it's at in here? It's not in here. Where did that idea come from? Well, it came from a guy named Billy Sunday back in the 1920s. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loves sinners. You're sitting here a sinner this morning. God loves you. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for good people." Is that what it says? No, it says for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5, 8. "But God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Luke 15, verse 2. "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Jesus is criticized by these shepherds of Israel. You can almost hear them say, "Why do you waste time with them?" Well, people asked us that a lot about our homeless ministry. And about our ministry that we feed people. You can hear people making fun of it. "Why do you waste time with them?" Well, the reason we do it is that we're commanded to do it. We cast a broad net and we try to pull in all kinds and give them all a chance. And if you're here this morning and you don't go to heaven, it's your own fault.
And if you're here with a bad attitude and you don't go to heaven, it's your own fault. It's not our fault. And so we want to get your blood off our hands. We want to tell you about it. We want to give you a chance to repent. In Psalms chapter 8, verse 4, it says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Why does God care about man? God is so high and we're so low. What is man that God is mindful of us? God had long ago spoken about these ceremonially clean, ritualistically proper shepherds of Israel. God has always had trouble with the leadership of his people. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 56, verse 10, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Boy, I'm telling you, I've seen dogs that can't bark, haven't you? There are dogs that can't bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they're greedy dogs which can never have enough. They're shepherds that can never understand. Sound like a bunch of politicians, doesn't it? And they all look to their own way and everyone to his own gain from his own quarter. So this is written about 750 B.C. That generation was a bad generation. Now Jeremiah, writing just before the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 B.C. in Jeremiah 23, turn with me to Jeremiah 23, beginning in verse 1. "Woe be unto the pastors," pastors and shepherds, same word, "woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I am against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and ye have not visited them." The New Testament word, bishop, elder, shepherd, pastor, overseer, presbyteros, all of those six words are used interchangeably to describe the eldership. The word bishop and elder comes from a Greek word, episkopos, and it means visit. It is the job of elders to visit people. We are at a loss in this church because we don't have shepherds. I wish we had elders. I wish we had shepherds in this church. But we, number one, don't have people qualified to be shepherds or elders, or we don't have people who want the responsibility of it. Or it's even worse to have bad elders than to have good elders. There's a widow, the last good elder, is sitting right here with us today, this morning, Nancy Chapman. Two of the elders that served with her husband, one of them went to prison for stealing from churches, and the other one had a problem his own self. So it's worse to have bad elders than to have no elders. "Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord." The Lord says, I'm going to get you for what you got coming. "And I'll gather the remnant of my flock." Now, they're going to go into the Babylonian captivity. Then he's going to gather them back to Israel. "I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries wherein I've driven them, and I will bring them again to their foes, and they shall be fruitful and increase." So Jeremiah must be prophesying of the Christian age, the new age that's going to come when the Messiah comes. "And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them." There will be some good shepherds in the churches of Christ in the future. "And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, a day comes, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch." Now, this simply means that he's going to be a descendant of David, a descendant of King David. And you notice that word branch there is capitalized. That's because the translators recognize that throughout the Old Testament, when that word branch was used, it was talking about Jesus, about the Messiah, the Christ. And a king, Jesus is going to be a king, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And in his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. Jesus is Lord, and he is the righteousness of God. It's revealed in him, in Jesus, our righteousness. Now back to our study in Luke chapter 15, but on the way, let's look at Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, he's writing about the same time, a little later than Jeremiah, maybe 10, 20 years later. So he's writing about 576, 566 BC, and he's talking about the Christian age in the future, and he's talking about all the way up to the Christian age, about the Jews before they go into captivity, while they're in captivity, and until the Christ comes. The word of the Lord came to me saying, Ezekiel 34, beginning verse 1, saying, verse 2, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flock? Now, what a sheep to be fed? Well, they're to be fed the word of God. We used to have a preacher here, and we first began feeding. And you know, he ate first. He ate first. He'd go to the head of the line to eat first. It's amazing to me. A shepherd ought to be a servant. God's always had trouble with his leadership. God has always had trouble with it. Verse 5, Ezekiel 34, verse 5. And they were scattered, the sheep, because there was no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field. The wolf got them, in other words, when they were scattered. Drop down to verse 8. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock. See, it's the job of shepherds to look for the lost. If you want to be a shepherd, then you better be doing the work of a shepherd. Somebody wants to be a shepherd in this church, you better start looking for the people that don't come to church. You better start looking for those that used to be members here. Go out and find them and bring them back. Shepherds, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Verse 10. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Because the shepherds won't do it, God Himself is saying, I'm going to come. I'm going to search out the sheep. I'll look out for them. I'll find them. And so he did. The word of God became flesh and dwelt among us in Jesus. Verse 12, As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, and he that is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all the places wherein they have been scattered in a cloudy and dark day. Verse 22, Therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. That's the purpose of Jesus coming into the world, to seeking to save that which is lost. And I will judge between the cattle and the cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. Now this guy is writing about 576, 566 to 76 BC. David's been dead 500 years. All he's saying here metaphorically is that it's going to be a descendant of David. It's going to be somebody from the house of David. Even my servant David shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken it. Now, in Romans 1:3, Paul defines that for us in saying, concerning Jesus, his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So we see exactly what God meant by that. If you'll turn with me now to Zechariah chapter 11, verse 15. God had also foretold of the hatred of these worthless shepherds against the Messiah. This is a messianic chapter. If you'll read before these verses that we're fixing to read, you'll read the story of Judas betraying Jesus to the false shepherds, to the false priests. And now, so after Judas betrays Jesus, then we pick up the context in verse 15. Then I cut my other staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. God's going to break this old covenant that he had. He's going to break it. He's going to do away with that old covenant. And the Lord said unto me, take unto ye yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land that shall not visit those that be cut off. You see what the job of a shepherd is again? Again, it's to visit the sheep. Neither shall he seek the young one. He should be interested in the young people. Nor shall he heal that which is broken, the broken hearts. Anybody ever had a broken heart in here? Yeah, no kidding. Nor shall he feed that standeth still. What do you feed the sheep? You feed them the word of God. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat. He'll go to the head of the line. He'll eat the best stuff. He wants nothing but chicken cordon bleu and a pink Chablis, man, for lunch. He's not going to have a bologna sandwich like us. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tether, and a better translation in claws here would be hooves. Sheep have hooves. Yeah, they tear their hooves in pieces. Woe be unto the idle shepherd that leadeth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm. Now, the arm is always referred to in the Bible as the saving power, the strength of a person. So people, in the sword is upon your arm, it simply means that your ability to save yourself is going to be cut off. You think you can save yourself, but you're not going to be able to save yourself. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. Jesus said, if thy eye be full of darkness, how great is that darkness? His arm shall be clean dried up. His ability to save himself will be completely dried up. And his right eye shall be totally, utterly darkened. All of his wickedness, he will become totally wicked. Not partially wicked. He'll become totally wicked. And that's what happened to Israel. Israel became absolutely wicked. They knew Jesus was a prophet. They knew he was the greatest man that ever was. His miracles, his wonders, and signs showed exactly who he was. They knew who he was, and they killed him and murdered him anyway. And then they killed and murdered Christians for 40 years, waiting until God sent the Romans and destroyed their city and their temple. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. We have already this month passed last month. We had 133,000 visitors this month already to our website. It's absolutely doing wonderful. Again, Luke chapter 15, verse 2. And all the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, he, Jesus, spake this parable unto them. Who's of them? Well, it's the shepherds of Israel. It's the scribes, the Pharisees, the hypocrites, the doctors of the law. Jesus' attitude is guilty as charged, and he's glad of it. He's doing the job that they ought to be doing, receiving sinners and eateth with them. Yet the master is kind, and he wants to teach them. They're a very needy group. The sinners had drew near to him. It's still the shepherds of Israel that are afar off. They're the ones that need saving. So now we've got the parable of the lost sheep. Luke chapter 15, verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he findeth it? Can't you just imagine the Pharisees and the scribes' reaction? Doesn't make good sense. Leave 99 in the wilderness where the wolf can get them and go after one lost sheep? It's not natural. It's not human. A shepherd who had 100 sheep in Israel was a very prosperous shepherd, and he certainly didn't get that way by throwing good money after bad. This is bad business. It's time to cut our losses. It's time to write these guys off. If one of the sheep goes astray, it's just better to let him go astray, is their attitude. The parable is what God is like. It's not what man's like. God is better than man. God is kinder than man. We're like that, but God's not like that. Israel was the flock of God. This metaphor is used throughout the Bible. Israel was the flock of God. In Psalm 79, verse 13 in the Old Testament, "So we are thy people and the sheep of thy pasture, and we'll give thee thanks forever, and we will show forth thy praise unto all generations." Psalms 100, verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, Jesus said, "But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So Jesus came to teach the house of Israel, God's own chosen people, to teach them and out of them to bring forth a group of people that would go out and conquer the world. That's what I'm trying to get us to do the same thing, to go out and conquer the world. You remember the verse that I read about the church in Thessalonica? The church in Thessalonica, one little church right here in Greece, took it to be their business to take the gospel to the whole wide world. And Paul says that they did it. Paul said they did it. Every church ought to take it as their business to take the gospel to the whole wide world. Now, we found a way to do it by radio. And for between $100 a week to $300 a month, somewhere between $300 and $400 a month, we can broadcast the gospel to most of the earth for an hour. Where in the world can you get a bargain like that? So if you're tired of seeing your contribution wasted on Professor Smart and his new Cadillac, if you'd like to help get the gospel to Africa or India or to China or to all of Europe, you know, Brazil is number one this month in visiting our website. You know, guess who's two? Italy, where all them Catholics are. Guess who's three? The European Union. Guess who's four? The Indian Ocean territories. It's amazing. 77 countries have come to our website already this month. 77 different countries. The Lord God is a shepherd. Psalms 23, verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." In John 10, verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine." In Hebrews 13, verse 20, "Now the God of peace hath brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." We talked about that last week. Near Olam. An everlasting covenant. God in Isaiah 42 had promised that he would make an everlasting covenant with his people. And that was done on the cross. The lost sheep. How could these shepherds of Israel, these Pharisees, these doctors of the law, these PhDs not put it all together? In Isaiah 53 verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray." This is what's called a parallelism. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned every one to his own way. So on one hand, all we like sheep have gone astray, and on the other hand, we've turned every one to his own way. They balance, don't they? That's a parallelism. That's what that means. It's a figure of speech. It's a parallelism. All we have gone astray and turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all, the sin of us all. He is the great sin bearer, the searching love of God for sinners. Notice that he said, "What man among you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and seek after that which is lost until he find it?" See that word "until"? It's from the Greek word "hiones." It means a continual, everlasting search. A never-ending search. It is necessary to continue searching until you have found it. Not just look, but until you have found it. Luke 19:10, again, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Verse 5, "And when he has found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoice." As God carried you home on his shoulders, I'm telling you, he's carried me home on his shoulders. This is prophesied in the Old Testament. 750 years before it happened, in Isaiah 40, verse 10, "Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand." You remember the hand, the arm means the ability to save. God is strong to save. God is powerful to save. He has a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. He's going to rule with his arm, with his strength. And behold, his reward is with him, and his work goeth before him. You're going to be able to hear about Jesus' work before he ever comes and visits your town. You're going to hear all about him before he ever comes to get there. He's going to be known as the greatest of all prophets. The word of him is going to travel like wildfire. And he shall gather the lambs with his arms. Well, let's go back to verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs in his arms. As Jesus gathered you up in his arms and carried them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. How long will he stick with us? Look at Isaiah 46, verse 3. Hearken to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. Now, the remnant means those that are saved among the house of Israel. Not everybody in Israel is saved. Not everybody in this church is saved. There's a remnant in here that's saved. You're not all saved. I know some of you is gaming. I know that some of you are here just for what you can get. I know it. And I know that some of you are here to get warm in the winter, and some of you are here to get cool in the summer. I know that you're gaming, and God knows you're gaming. Hearken to me, O house of Jacob, and the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, from the time that you were born, God has carried you if you're a Christian, which are carried from the womb, he says, and from the time that you were born, I've looked out for you. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to your hoar hairs, that means gray or white hair like I got. All this wisdom, see all this wisdom, white hair, wisdom. Well, that's what that means. That's what that old King James word means. Even to your gray hairs will I carry you. Even till you get old like me, he's going to carry you. I have made, and I will bear, I will carry, and I'll deliver you. Isn't that wonderful? He's going to save us and deliver. 1 Peter 2:25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but you're now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Luke 15:6, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Has Jesus carried you home yet? Well, then, you just need to come to Jesus. Remember Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Sheep are the most wandering off animals that they are. I tell God often when I'm praying to him that you hadn't given me sheep, you'd give me cats. It's like trying to herd a bunch of cats down there. But next to cats, I'd imagine sheep are the most likely to wander off and go their own way. And so they're just constantly doing that. And so God cares for us. We're just like that. We wander off, man. Boy, we can get to sin or something, and there we go. And, you know, no matter what it is, everybody has their sin. Everybody has something that they're tempted with. If you're not, please see me after church and tell me how. Tell me how in the world you've done it. How in the world that you've got nothing that tempts you. Look me straight in the eye and tell me that you've got no temptation whatsoever. And I'll tell you, you're full of pride. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Those strong arms were stretched out on the cross for you. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the website. Come to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there. There's 1,000 written lessons. There's all kinds of college. You can get advanced studies. We have over 500 people in our DVD church that are watching DVDs. You can see these sermons on DVD. Every verse that you hear read here and everything that you see up here on the screen is on the DVD. And so you can hear the sermon and read the verse at the same time when you download the DVD. And so all you got to do is watch it. You really don't have to download it. Luke 15, verse 7. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons that need no repentance. The joy in heaven over sinners that come to Jesus. In Psalm 16, 11, it says, thou shalt show me the path of life. There's just one path that leads to life. All the other paths, all the other roads lead to death and destruction. You might think that you're slick, but I'm telling you now, you're not nearly as slick as you think you are. I used to think that I was the baddest guy in the world. I really did. I thought I was the baddest guy in the world. I thought my guns were bigger. My knives were quicker. I thought my fists were tougher. I thought I was the baddest guy in the world. And you know what the government taught me? They taught me that we got a place for you. We got a place for you, and we're going to take you and put you in a place that's plumb full of people just like you. Yeah, that's what the, and that every Sunday, Eddie goes and preaches to people like that. And Brother Davis and Brother Manuel here and people in our jail ministry, they go preach to people like that. And so sometimes some of them guys in there that are not lying, because most of them are sitting around telling tales, telling all kinds of big tales about what kind of great gangbanger they were out on the street, and they're lying dogs, because if they had a nickel, they'd make bombs. They wouldn't even be in jail. Isn't that the truth, Eddie? Huh? They're lying dogs. They don't have any money. They weren't no gangbanger. There wasn't no bad, tough guy. They didn't have nothing. They were just a bunch of punks or a bunch of liars sitting there telling big lies to each other. And none of them got a nickel, or they'd have a lawyer and they'd have a bond and they'd be out on the street. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Boy, isn't that wonderful? Better than a luau at Waikiki Beach. I've been to Waikiki Beach, and I'm ready to go to that luau in heaven anytime he wants to call me. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, Psalms 89. You know, we sing a song about that. I've heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. That's where it came from. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Psalms 132. I will also clothe her priests. Every Christian is a king and a priest to God, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 through 9. I will also clothe her priests with salvation and her saints. Every Christian is a saint. Saints aren't some dead people that they've made an idol out of. That's not a saint. Every Christian is a saint, whether living or dead, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. And we'll certainly do that at the resurrection, won't we? Isaiah 12. In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thy anger is turned away, and thou comforted me. Behold, God is my salvation, and I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength, and my song also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Have mercy, I want a bunch of joy out of that well of salvation. It's an awesome responsibility to be a shepherd in the Church of Christ today. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28 through 30, Paul has called together the elders of the church at Ephesus, and he charges them, and he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. And this is one of the words, one of the six interchangeable words that's used for shepherd, overseer, that he's made you overseers. To do what? To feed the flock of God, to teach them the Bible, which he has purchased with his own blood. How did God buy this flock? Well, he bought it on the cross with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. There's going to be wolves that are going to come from the outside, and they're going to come in, and they're going to try to take over the flock, and they're going to try to take over. They're going to be power-hungry people. They're going to be after what they can get. They're going to be just like a wolf. That's going to be their nature. They're going to be wolves in sheep's clothing. Shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. But also, look at this, but also of your own selves shall men arise. So there's going to be evil that's going to come from outside, and there's going to be evil that's going to come from inside, and evil people are going to rise up in here, and they're going to try to take over. They're going to try to do their thing. Shall evil people arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. So it's an awesome responsibility to be an elder in the churches of Christ today. So one of the problems that we have in the churches of Christ is that instead of shepherds and pastors, the church has gone out in the last 30 years and they've got successful businessmen, and they thought that if a man can run Atmos Energy or AT&T or some big business, that he's the type of guy that ought to be running a church. And he ain't the type of guy that ought to be shepherding the flock. Maybe he can oversee something, but that's only part of the job. The other part of the job is shepherding the flock, taking care of the flock, preaching and teaching. And most of them are novices and don't know anything about the Bible. They know a lot about AT&T. They know a lot about business, but they don't know anything about winning souls, keeping souls, shepherding souls. And I'm telling you right now, I hope I'm trampling on a whole lot of toes, because I believe I'm saying exactly what God wants to say. There's a great change movement that's going on in the churches of Christ. And Christ made his church the way that he wanted it, and he didn't want men to change anything. The great, great counterpunch that they have today is they say, "Whoa, well, that's your interpretation." No, that's not your interpretation. The Bible interprets the Bible. Words mean something. We need to always know that words mean something. Words mean what they say. The Bible interprets the Bible, and it means what it said. Peter says in 1 Peter 5:1, the elders which are among you. So from among the church, it's not scriptural for elders to come from some other church, come over here and rule over here. It's not scriptural at all. They're to come out from among us. Elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, to what feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. So oversee their soul, not just the bank account, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, filthy money, but of a ready mind, neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now, there's nothing wrong with a businessman being an elder. Don't get me wrong when I said that. If he knows the Bible, if he's a shepherd, if he'll seek the lost, if he'll take care of the flock, if he'll be the Bible kind of shepherd, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But most don't have those qualities. Most can't tell you the books of the New Testament. Parable of the lost coin. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? 10 pieces of silver. It was a custom of a woman who was betrothed or engaged to wear a frontlet or a headband of coins, like 10 coins, like you girls get an engagement ring. That was like that. And so she'd wear a frontlet or a headband of these 10 coins. And if she lost one of them, it'd be like you losing a diamond out of your ring. If you just got through washing the dishes and you lost a diamond out of your engagement ring, man, you'd have a plumber out there taking that pipe off, wouldn't you? You'd search until you got that thing back. Israel was betrothed or engaged to God. In the Old Testament, Hosea, looking to the future of the Christian age, said in Hosea chapter 2, "And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. And thou shalt know the Lord. And I will sow her unto me in the earth. And I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say unto them which were not my people," that are not Jews, in other words, "thou art my people," and they shall say, "thou art my God." And so that's us today. We're not Jews, we're Gentiles. The loss of the coin is dramatic. It's a sign of fellowship with her beloved. It must be restored. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 11, "And the Lord said to me, the backsliding Israel has justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thy iniquity." Confess your sins, in other words, "that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and thou hast scattered thy ways unto strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. It's dark in the house, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Notice that the coin is lost in the house, it's lost in Israel. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Stay in the house. Find the coin. Look out for yourself and your family. Keep saved. Keep yourself saved. Keep your family and your children saved. Notice, "seek diligently until she find it." Till is the same Greek word, heons, that was used in verse 4. And here is translated unto. The lost coin is so precious that the search is never ending until it's found. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there. There's 10 years of sermons on there. So go on there, and there's all kinds of different pages that you can look up and get written lessons and get all kinds of links. Luke 15, verse 9, "And when she has found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace that was lost." If any woman would search for a token and a symbol like this, how much more should these Pharisees, these scribes, these doctors of the law, these rabbis, these shepherds of Israel, how much more should they be searching for the lost, especially when they prayed the same ritualistic prayer every day, "I thank thee, O God, that thou did not create me a woman." You think they'd let y'all vote, ladies? No chance. No chance at all. Man, when did that come about? 1920s, something like that. Verse 10. "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." What is God willing to do to restore a sinner to lost fellowship and give his, well, he's willing to give his all. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, "Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Joy in the presence of the angel. Who in heaven is in the presence of the angels? Well, God and Jesus and all his saints. singing a new song in Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, which out of every kindred, every kind of person, every nation, every language, every color of people, every kindred, every tongue, and every people and nation, thou hast made us unto God," what? "Kings and priests." You know what that meant to a guy that was a slave in the first century? To be made into eternally a king and a priest. That's what God is offering you today if you'll repent and become Christians. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you'll believe that gospel, put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you, repent of your sins, be sorry for your sins, confess Christ is Lord, march right down to the front down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can be baptized into Christ and have all your sins washed away. If you're here this morning, you need the help of the church and the prayers of the church. Are you ready to become a Christian? Won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Now to prepare our mind for the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray that this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.